Log on, click and download at bbcworldservice.com to get the Digital Planet podcast delivered to your MP3 player every week.
This is the BBC in Beijing.
Kampala.
Reykjavik. Delhi.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body and soul.
I'm Wayne Dyer, and you're listening to Synchronicity with Marie Bernard. Here she is.
Hey, good morning, Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and that was Wayne Dyer. Before that, there was a song from the Toys movie soundtrack that was the closing of the year from the Toys soundtrack. And today we've got a great show. Jay Baidala, founder of ChristmasFuture.org, is on the line right now. So I've got lots of questions for him. And if you want to get on the air and ask a question about Christmas Future, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And as always, you can email me at spiritualshow@gmail.com. And I'm also on Facebook, so you can look me up there. So you might be listening to 101.9 FM in Vancouver or CITR.ca from anywhere in the world, or you might also be listening to CosmicDimensions.com because they're playing this show as well. And it starts at noon in the States, and it's live every Friday morning. So one thing that I wanted to talk about just before we bring Jay on the line is because we're talking about Christmas Future is a place where you purchase gifts, donations, and you give that away. And so the person who it's gifted to gets to decide where the money goes to, what kind of project. That's on ChristmasFuture.org. And I'm just remembering how lucky we are right now, because right now my bathroom is being remodeled because there was like a leak and they had to tear everything out and it's been all this drama. And so I have been having to find places to shower for the last few days because our shower is not in operation. And I've been showering at the manager's place in my building. Thankfully, she's been kind enough to loan me her shower while this is going on. But this morning, I didn't have time to go down there. So I'm actually unshowered today and not feeling too good about it. And that reminds me how fortunate we are in this country to have the luxury of having a hot shower every day, or even some people have two showers a day. And we take that for granted. I know I've been taking it for granted, as it's my right to have a shower every morning and it's expected. But not everyone has that luxury. So give that a thought while you're listening to the show today. And I'm going to bring Jay Bedella on the line right now. Hi, Jay.
Hi, how you doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good. So I met you at the Wayne Dyer Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, Christmas Future is one of the organizations that was benefiting from that charity event. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, Seed Productions has chosen four charities to support as nonprofits, and we're one of those four.
Great. Well, can you just tell me, what is Christmas Future?
Sure. Christmas Future, from the sort of highest level, is about empowering everyday people to change the world. And we're seeing that happen, that model emerging in all different spheres. We're most recently seeing it in politics in the States, where Barack Obama has really empowered everyday people to participate in building up both transparency and funds and influence and voice in his political campaign. So that's what we do, but we do it on the philanthropic side. So we empower everyday people to change the world. And the way specifically that we do that is we provide easy opportunities for people in North America to refocus some of the trillion bucks we spend during the Christmas holidays towards projects that end poverty in the developing world.
So we spend $1 trillion at Christmas time.
Yeah, yeah. There's varying statistics, and depending on the sources you go to, we checked out the IRS website for retail and wholesale dollars, and that's $1 trillion during the holiday season.
And that's just in the States.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Canadians spend, I think, roughly $60 billion in the same period.
Wow. So that's,
yeah.
And how much of it are you hoping people will donate? What percentage?
Well, I heard two interesting facts when I started Christmas Future. One was that first fact that I just said, $1 trillion towards retail during the holiday season. And then quite soon after that, I heard the stat that the World Bank was estimating $50 billion a year, if spent properly, would get the poorest nations out of poverty in a lasting way, and moving towards what are called the Millennium Development Goals, basic guidelines moving out of poverty. So put those two things together, $50 billion is 1/20, so 5% of what we spend at Christmas. So if we refocused 1 out of 20 gifts and did it on the Christmas Future site, we would change the world.
Wow. So that's really important to remember, because we're talking about that's the American number of the trillions of dollars that are spent.
Exactly. So the American plus the Canadian, so total in North America would be just over $1 trillion.
Great. So if you're listening to this show from somewhere other than Vancouver or Canada, because we do have podcasts and there's cosmicdimensions.com. So if you're listening from America or anywhere else in the world, you can definitely donate on this site as well. So the address is christmasfuture.org. And you're mentioning it was $50 billion spent properly.
Yeah. So that's the key. And that's our focus for the Christmas Future site is what's called extreme poverty, living on under $1 a day. And that is happening primarily in the developing nations of our world. And that number is significant because it means that people are dying unnecessarily from fully preventable causes because they're too poor. Mm-hmm. They literally don't have enough to, as you were referring to, you know, have a shower. These people don't even have enough to have a meal that they need or clean water or proper health care.
Exactly. So now it's interesting, the money spent properly, because I feel like, I was looking for music to play at the beginning of the show last night, and I went on YouTube and I found that Band-Aid song from 1985, Feed the World. And they're talking about Africa, and I have to imagine that, I mean, I know that people are generous and they give money to these causes. And since 1985, I have to think that there's been more than $50 billion given.
Yes, and that $50 billion, a few things there. That $50 billion is an annual number if spent properly. But the point that you were making there is, we've donated a lot, and what's really changed? Like, are we really spending it properly? And that's a fantastic question. There's a lot of evidence that the development models that we've been using have been flawed because they're not bringing the amount of change that we would anticipate. But at the same time, a lot of good things have been learned, and a lot of good changes have happened in the developing nations of the world. So in the past 50 years, development has sort of moved more towards a model of what's called endogenous development, development from within. So defining, helping people, groups of people, define and solve their own problems rather than coming in and doing projects to them, which is the old model, right? The big white truck with the international symbol comes into a village, does a project to a group of people, don't even ask them if they need it, and then drive away. Well, we've learned that that's not sustainable. That doesn't last.
And I've heard that a lot of the food donations that are sent to impoverished countries actually don't necessarily get to the people that need them most because of corruption in their local governments.
Exactly. There is a lot of corruption involved in different cases, and it has to be looked at in a case-by-case basis, but definitely corruption is an issue when you're going into nations that are impoverished.
So this is something that's on all of our minds, especially around Christmas time. But what specifically inspired you to start Christmas Future?
I think a few things. I come from a corporate IT background, so I spent about 13 years building big web systems and internet systems and software applications for large organizations. And I made a lot of money doing that. So I had a fairly comfortable lifestyle, and it was coming from a perspective of very much, you know, I make my own decisions, and my decisions only impact me. If I want to buy a fancy sport utility vehicle that burns a lot of gas, I can do that because I can afford it. If I want to buy a 5,000 square foot home, I can do that because I can afford to heat it. So I was coming very much from that perspective, not a hurtful or uncommon or destructive perspective, but a very self-centered perspective. As I made more money in IT, I traveled a lot more and found myself really drawn to the developing world and what was going on there and the sense of community and connection that I experienced there. And then I came back to my world, to my downtown condominium where I basically had everything I needed, more than I needed, everything I wanted. And I started to recognize the inconsistency of how I was living and how I was feeling. I felt that I had too much. I don't think that everyone has too much, but I felt that I had too much. So I decided to simplify my life. I decided to de-stuffify my life. And I sold my condominiums, a few different properties and vehicles, and then decided to invest that in changing the world in this way, in Christmas Future.
Fantastic. Well, it's already time for a break, Jay, so I'm just going to put you on hold here. We're talking with Jay Baydala, who is the founder of Christmas Future. That's christmasfuture.org, and it's an organization where you can make donations on behalf of others and gift those instead of buying, let's face it, junk that everybody... I mean, people have everything already, most of us. So you can donate to worthy causes in impoverished nations, and we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. So if you want to get on the air and ask Jay a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And you're listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Flash your Friends of CITR card and get a nifty discount at the KISS Adult Toy Store, the Regional Assembly of Text, and the Bike Kitchen. Show it when you shop and thank them for being a friend of CITR.
This is rated R for...
Really Awesome.
Did you know that you can now download all CITR radio shows off their website?
What?
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 Holy smokes, I can't believe I'm part of the coolest club in the world.
Bub?
Yeah?
So, what club is that?
CITR. As a club member, I get ginormous discounts on the Friends of CITR card, which in itself, Timmy, I must say, is pretty amazing. I get dirt cheap prices at stores and shops I'm at all the time anyway. To be honest, it feels like being in a club within a club.
Wow. Hey, I want a Friends of CITR card.
You don't even have to be a member to get one, although clearly you'd be that much cooler if you were a member. Go purchase your Friends of CITR card down at CITR, or at special events they sponsor, such as concerts, membership drives, and shindig.
I got it. It feels like having special powers. I go into stores and bam! Discounts.
Tis what I said.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. And that was a PSA for the Friends of CITR card. And I just want to remind you about the Sage signed up, Sage Natural Wellness signed up as a Friend of CITR card. And one of their programs is they purchase their shea butter from the Lulu Works program down in the South Sudan. So that's another way that you can give back this year. Right now we're talking with Jay Baydala, who is founder of ChristmasFuture.org, and we're going to talk more about what that is. So, Jay, we're talking about donating money on behalf of other people, like a gift.
Exactly. So the basic idea is go on the website, and instead of giving me a sweater or something that I don't really need or want, you can give me $50 or $100 on the Christmas Future website, like a gift card, and then I receive that in the email or in a printed card, and then I choose a project on the Christmas Future site to put it towards. And all those projects are focused on ending extreme poverty.
Fabulous. Now, what about the experience that someone gets when they go on the site? You know, instead of getting a sweater, they're literally giving away their Christmas gift.
Yeah, in one sense, they're giving away a Christmas gift. In another sense, they're getting a totally different kind of gift. The experience of actually giving to someone that can't pay you back, that can't give it back to you, that experience cannot be fabricated or replaced or conjured. That actual experience of giving to someone that has no way to pay you back is actually so elevating.
So let's talk about that, because it's really unconditional giving. Sometimes people, you know, we exchange gifts because we're obligated to. Like someone shows up at your door and they've got a gift and you better have, you know, a few extra wrapped gifts handy because you're obligated to give them one back. So let's talk about this unconditional giving with no expectation for something in return. What kind of feelings are people reporting back to you?
Well, I think what happens is there's a few things at play here. One of that you mentioned there was the cultural norm or the cultural conditioning of giving a gift during the holiday season or different times of the year. So we're expected to give a gift. So that's okay. You know, that's not a horrible thing. It's a cultural norm. The other part of the gift itself is gifts, I think, are rooted in the desire of human connection, the desire to connect with someone. And I think that those desires are rooted in providing for a need or a want for someone. So if I can actually provide something that you really need or you really want, there's some sort of magical human connection taking place. Where it breaks down now is that, generally speaking, we have no more needs. And most of our wants we can take care of by ourselves or have already taken care of. So when we're giving these gifts that are culturally expected, we're not getting that desired emotional connection and human connection. But this other way of giving actually gives it all. So you meet your cultural obligation or fit into the norm so you don't feel ostracized by not giving a gift. But then that gift goes to someone that totally needs it, and it's actually a need. It's no longer just a want. It's actually a fundamental need of a human being. So you're creating more human connection.
So what are there was a story that the guy from Seed Productions read about someone who had been given a gift from Christmas Future and cashed it in on your site. And they were talking about how wonderful the experience was. Do you recall that story? Can you tell us more about that one?
Yeah, Greg Mather of Seed Productions was actually talking about a gift that he gave to his daughter. Providing the choice to a young person to give a gift in this way, to learn about the world in this way. And, yeah, it's fantastic. He said that her experience was so elevating for her, the ability to give away to someone that really needed it, to actually give up something of hers, a Christmas gift of hers, actually made her so happy and excited because there's more people in the world that need stuff than her, that need way more than her because she already has enough.
So that I think that's a really important lesson for kids especially because at Christmas time, kids are just getting so much stuff right now, and they see it on TV and they want it and they have to have it, and the latest toy, people are beating each other up in the toy stores to get. And instead you can really be teaching your kids a valuable lesson at the same time as actually helping people and making a difference in the world.
Exactly. And that's one of the major goals of Christmas Future as well, is not only to get funds and projects happening in the poorest countries in the world, but also to shape and change our North American culture, to give us a way out of the consumerism that we're trapped in, and learn more about what's going on in the rest of our world and foster more human connection and awareness.
So, Jay, let's talk again. I'm going to give out the website, christmasfuture.org. is the website, Change the World for Good. And so let's talk about some of the causes and projects that are happening. Just here on the website, christmasfuture.org, I'm looking at the main headings. There's gender equality, 19 projects, education, 16 projects, community development, 12 projects, economy, 8 projects, health, 3, agriculture, 2, and infrastructure, 1. And there's a bunch of different countries, Nicaragua, Chile, Bolivia, Uganda, India, Nepal, Kenya, Honduras, Sierra Leone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. And what Christmas Future focuses on is integrated approaches to ending poverty. So on our website, you're not going to find any one-off projects. Although water wells are great, and chickens are great, and you know, buying a heifer is great. Those are all good things. But what's better is looking at the whole system and trying to improve that whole system. So every project that you'll find on our site is part of an integrated approach to getting the poorest communities in the world out of poverty in a lasting way. So it's not just a one-off. It actually is synchronized with other projects and coordinated.
Okay. That's interesting that you mentioned the chickens, and because I heard on the radio that there is a site out there where you can purchase chickens and goats and things like that as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
But wouldn't that, I mean, doesn't that sustain like a family? I mean, chickens lay eggs and goats make milk and, you know, I mean, that is ongoing, isn't it?
Yes and no. Like I say, there is goodness happening there. That is a good sort of first level approach to solving a problem in a lasting way. The way that those types of programs are run is typically you're not buying a chicken for a family. It's more what we're calling a bit of big bucket philanthropy. So you throw your money in a bucket and it's sort of a virtual chicken that you're buying for someone, and then they go in and provide a certain amount of chickens to a certain amount of people. There, as I said, there is some goodness in that. But if you don't consider the whole system that you're going into, you can actually really harm a community or even an entire economy of an area or region by all of a sudden dropping in 50,000 chickens. You could really, if you don't do it properly and consider the rest of the system, it could be damaging.
Really? In what way could it be damaging to have chickens?
Yeah. So, for example, if a whole bunch of generous people in North America donated a whole bunch of money to chickens, to buy a bunch of chickens for a community in, let's pick a nation, Kenya, a particular community in Kenya, maybe near Kisumu. So all of these chickens are now dropped off into this community. So at one level, this is great. People have chickens that are producing eggs and could be used at some point to eat as well, eat the chickens themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But now what you've done is you've disturbed that entire economy, so now there's free chickens for that group of people. Now the price of chickens will drop substantially in the surrounding areas, perhaps, because that group of people doesn't need chickens or eggs anymore. So now you've shifted an entire economy.
Wow.
And you possibly, I'm not saying this happens for sure, but if it's not done properly, you could possibly make chickens or an entire economy sort of shake a little bit. And I guess we're pretty familiar with shaken economies at this juncture.
Wow, that's like, I never would have even thought of that. The people that are selling chickens and eggs wouldn't have customers anymore, and so that hurts their economy.
Yeah, exactly. So the larger picture is really important to consider. And again, no one has it all right. No one has it all figured out, but the broader system should be considered at all times.
Okay, so let's talk about some of these projects. I'm just going to click on gender equality here.
Mm-hmm.
There's at the top of the list in Nepal, Core International Microcredit 3-year program. So, and it needs $13,324, but some has already been donated. So the current need is just over $7,000.
Oh, and great.
So what is the program?
Typically, a microcredit program will involve, there's different types of microcredit, and they rank them A++, A+, or A, or B. Basically, that ranking indicates to you the amount of additional services on top of just microcredit loans. So, for those that aren't familiar, microcredit lending is the concept of getting a smaller amount of money to an entrepreneur in the developing world that typically doesn't have access to funds from a big bank because they don't have any collateral or they don't have any evidence that they could pay it back. But all they need is, you know, $50, $100 to start a little business that can actually sustain their lives and their families' lives. So that's microcredit. Now, typically, microcredit is focused towards women in the developing world. And the reason that they do this is because it's been shown that women, if they're given money, are very responsible to pay it back and to spend the money on their families. So any money that they make from this microcredit loan towards their business, they'll spend their money on their family, whereas men will 50% spend it on their family and 50% spend it on other things, such as gambling or alcohol or those kinds of things. So most microcredit goes to women, I think 98%. And the cool thing about microcredit is that 98% of the loans get paid back, which is way above any kind of conventional loaning. So now you're seeing the larger bank trying to buy up that the smaller microcredit loans. So what's going on in Nepal is they are creating a system of microcredit lending and trust banks where they group people together, 10 people or 12 people, to be accountable to one another, to say, if I don't pay my loan back this week, you'll pay for me, and if you don't pay yours next week, I'll pay for you. So there's this peer responsibility. And they also teach skills. So they teach financial skills, and they teach business skills, and they teach marketing skills, and they teach general living skills to this little group of people. And now that group of people is responsible to one another. They go off and they do their business that they're creating from this microcredit loan, and then they learn more skills and improve their self-perception and self-worth and basically rise. They rise and they start to shine.
Wow, that is so awesome. And I want to talk more about micro lending and the gender equality section on ChristmasFuture.org. Right now we're talking with Jay Baydala, founder of Christmas Future. That's ChristmasFuture.org, where you can go and instead of buying someone a sweater or a Starbucks gift card, you can go online and donate money on their behalf, and they can in turn choose what project they want it to go to. So we'll be back with Jay Baydala from ChristmasFuture.org in just a moment.
So you want to gain the freshman 15? Well, you probably will. So why not gain it ethically? Sprouts, the student-run, not-for-profit grocery store, is now open in the lower level of the UBC Student Union Building across from Travel Cuts in the Wellness Center. Sprouts is committed to providing the UBC community with healthy, locally produced, organic, and fair trade products at great prices. Sprouts will be open from 9:30 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. So you want to tag a ride on the sustainable gravy train? Sprouts is now looking for volunteers to help out with tabling, outreach, and at the storefront. So just drop by and pick up your application.
Hey, what's wrong?
I've been looking for a job since I came to Canada, and I haven't found anything.
Have you tried WorkLearn?
What's WorkLearn?
Part-time jobs on campus for international undergraduate students just like us help me find a great job that's actually related to my studies.
Wow! I'll have to check that out.
You should. It's good pay, good experience, and good for your career. Just look for WorkLearn postings at www.careersonline.ubc.ca. You can even ask your profs and campus staff if they can create a job for you.
To participate in WorkLearn, you must be an international student seeking an undergraduate degree in a participating faculty and registered full-time with a study permit valid for at least 6 months. For more information, visit www.careers.ubc.ca.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we're talking with Jay Baydala from ChristmasFuture.org. And if you have a question for Jay, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, 822-2487. So, Jay, we're talking about micro-lending right now under the section of gender equality. And I'm wondering, what's different about your site as opposed to, like, Kiva?
Sure. There's a lot of similarities. It's what I'm calling the sort of nonprofit or NGO, non-governmental organization 2.0, the new generation of nonprofit model. And Kiva is one of the leading examples of this new model. Christmas Future is as well one of the sort of poster children of this new model of nonprofit. So Kiva is a microcredit lending site. You can go on. You can see a picture of Juan asking for $50 to start his fruit stand. You can give Juan $50, and then 6 months later or a year later, you get a note that says, thank you for helping me start my fruit stand. My life is better. My family is secure. So basically online, make it easy, give you feedback about what's going on and how you're changing the world. Christmas Future is pretty much the same thing, but our focus is integrated development as opposed to just microcredit.
Okay. There's also, I think, another difference, too. With Kiva, the money is loaned by you, and it comes back to you. Like, it goes back in, because I have a Kiva account, and it comes back into your account. So what happens with this money? Say we donate to CORE International or another program, and so they're paying that money back to the organization, so it's actually re-loaned out.
Yeah, so what the money is going towards on the site is to actually building those opportunities up as opposed to the lending out. So on the Christmas Future site, those dollars are the source dollars that are going out to those different people are actually coming from other sources. You're creating the opportunity on the Christmas Future site for that infrastructure to happen.
Okay, cool. So now I'm looking under education, and there's in Bolivia, there's the Children's Human Rights Project, Potosi Mine, Bolivia, and it's a 2-year project. So what's going on with this one?
I understand that on that project, they're actually educating. I think it should say on the site itself how many hundred children are involved in this particular program.
It says 320 lives affected.
Yeah, so, you know, walking for 2 years, 60 children per year through this program and actually providing education to them and resources necessary to sort of bring them up to the next level. And all international development organizations and people involved in sort of extreme poverty work know that the number one thing that changes a nation's future or changes a population's future is education. That's the single biggest thing that actually changes the world. Yes, you need to have clean water. That's huge. And you need enough food and you need enough medicine to stay healthy. But the biggest thing that changes a nation's future is education, and this is focused on that.
That's really cool. And there's also women's literacy in Guatemala, and that affects 300 lives. And it's interesting because if you're looking at the site, it's ChristmasFuture.org. And beside each project, there is a quick fax. So it tells you how many lives are affected by this project, how much funding is required, how much funding has already been raised, and what the current need is. And literacy, I mean, it's another, like having a shower. A lot, we take it for granted that we can pick up a newspaper and read it or read the road signs. I mean, there are people, a lot of people in the world who don't even know how to read.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And you're so right that we do take it so much here for granted. We can't really blame us. We can't blame North Americans because you only know what you've been exposed to, really. So you know, we can't blame North Americans, but the more exposure we get to these types of things, the more it makes sense that, wow, we really have it good here. I was in a village in West Africa where they were building a school, and it was almost completed, and I was able to meet with the community and ask them a few questions. And as I was there watching the community, or meeting with the community, children would come from far away, kilometers away, to see if the school is ready yet, because they so wanted to get into school. They so wanted to start learning, which is so vastly different than the story here.
Yeah, you've got to drag the kids out of bed.
We're usually complaining about having to go to class.
Yeah. Well, it is something that we take for granted, and I think it's something that everyone should be able to take for granted. We all, every person on this planet should be able to read. It is a human right to have education, I believe, but in so many places, it's a luxury.
Absolutely.
That they can't afford.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And when you're able, it's interesting what you said about, people needing clean water and food. And of course, I mean, that is the most important thing, ultimately, is having food in your belly. But that's where the money is going to all this aid. And it's like this bottomless pit of poverty.
Exactly. There's aid, and then there's development. And aid is appropriate in times of crises, where there's big crises, whether it's a natural disaster or a financial collapse or whatever it is. Aid is appropriate when people are dying in those moments, just like Western medicine is really great for acute problems. But for more systemic problems, you need to look at it differently. You need to develop. You need to change something. So aid is appropriate, but development is what takes people to the next level, and letting them define what that development should look like in their culture, in their community, and let them own it, help them to own it. That's where we change the world.
Exactly. Well, we're talking with Jay Baydala from ChristmasFuture.org, and I want to talk more about all these projects because there's so many. But is there anything that you want to focus on? Because we are getting close to wrapping up the show.
Well, one concept that I think we sort of briefly touched on as well was this concept of giftlanthropy, that you make a donation as your gift to a loved one, and it's really catching on, and we're seeing it everywhere, and it's really popular these days. So really encouraging people to, if Christmas Future is for you, if focusing on extreme poverty is for you, that's great. Christmas Future is the right option. It's a great, innovative, thoughtful gift. It's a green gift. But if Christmas Future isn't for you, I encourage you to find some way to get involved in your world and engage in what's going on.
I'm just silent because it's so important for us to be able to give back. And I want to talk about the actual gifting process. So do you just get like a number that you would write in someone's card, or is it a gift card? How does it work?
Yeah, basically you've got a few options. There's the ability for you to go online and email, send an email card, a gift card, to the gift recipient, to your loved one. If you don't want to give an online gift card, if you don't want to send an email to them with a pretty picture and a nice saying inside, maybe you don't want to send it right away. Maybe you want to send it on the day after Christmas so you don't spoil the surprise. You can time the delivery of that electronic card. Alternatively, you can print off that card, and it has a little gift code in it as well that they can type into the website and pick up their gift card. But you can go old school and go print it and print out the card, fold it up, write your own personal message inside, and give them that under the tree. So for people that want something under the tree, they can go that way.
Great. And it's great for when, like I was talking about, people who just show up unexpectedly and they have a gift, You know, you can always have a few of these handy at the last minute if someone shows up with a gift, and you can give it to them. And
absolutely. And it's really, it's so thoughtful, and it's so time efficient. I know that in these times we're all stressed out about, you know, finding the right gift, spending the right amount, getting to the mall, wrapping it up, getting it to the right person. Well, here's a really simple way that you can do a lot of your holiday shopping, change the world at the same time, and spend very little time doing it.
Again, another excellent point, and I want to talk more about this because I really believe in this project. It's so important to give back, and really, I mean, this is a spiritual show. We talk about spiritual issues, and during the funding drive, I was reading the the Affluence, Creating Affluence by Deepak Chopra, and some of the main points in that book are about sharing and giving back, and that feeling that you get when you truly help another person, and it's not just going into this pit of poverty that's going, or it's not going to, you know where the money is going, you know that it's going to make a difference, you know that it's not going to end up in the hands of some drug lord or some government guy, you know?
Yeah, that's really a great point. Like, a few things really make Christmas Future stand out. 100% of the money that you choose to put towards projects on our site go to projects. 100% of that hits the ground. We raise our overhead separately. Also, we give people choice. You get to choose specifically the project and where you want the money to go, which is great. Giving donors information and empowering them to choose, man, that's exactly what is needed and what we want. And then lastly, we show that the world has changed because of that choice. So online, you can track that project over time, YouTube videos and photographs and emails from the field, so you can actually see stuff going on.
Awesome. Okay, well, we're going to take another break. So you're listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Interested in NGOs or the nonprofit sector? Want to teach in another country? How about a position in the commerce or engineering sector? Do you want to travel abroad and have a life-changing experience? Isaac UBC offers different internships for all kinds of specialties. We are looking for students interested in fields such as the HIV/AIDS pandemic, community empowerment, business administration, education, environment, and sustainability, and much more. If you're interested in working abroad or helping out on campus, please contact ubc.aiesec@gmail.com. That's ubc.aiesec@gmail.com. It's up to you.
Hey, this is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we are talking with Jay Bedalla, founder of ChristmasFuture.org. And coming up in about 14 minutes is Scotty's Scenic Drive, so stick around for that. Now, right now, just before we wrap up the show, I want to ask about, because the money is just being given at Christmas time. Is that right?
Well, at this juncture, Christmas Future obviously has a huge focus around this particular holiday. Now, quite quickly, we're releasing an umbrella brand that will make it easier to brand other gifting opportunities, whether it's other seasonal opportunities, Easter, Ramadan, Hanukkah, or other gifting, general gifting opportunities like birthdays or weddings. So, although, you know, we are able to go onto the website and gift any time off of the Christmas Future site, we're going to be creating other sub-brands that make it a lot easier.
Great. So those will be posted on ChristmasFuture.org when they're ready?
Yeah, you bet. But in the meantime, people can give all year round.
Excellent. But the right now the funding is, so you could give someone a gift on ChristmasFuture.org in July for their birthday, but the money is not actually going to be sent out to these projects until the end of the year. Is that correct?
No, we send out money to our partners on a quarterly basis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so at this juncture, as we gain more and more velocity of dollars, we'll be getting those dollars to the field more quickly. As well, we have sort of a timing of when and how we distribute those funds on milestone per project so that there's less chance of corruption. So you don't just write a big fat check and hope that something good happens. You distribute that money over time.
And I have another question about, so let's say there was one I was looking at the other day, and okay, so here's the Honduras Women's Integral Empowerment, year one, and it affects 110 people. The funding requirement is almost $38,000. So far, only $84.50 has been raised. So that project needs a lot more funding. So you're going to send that $84 to them? Like, say there's no other donations to that project this quarter. Does that $84 still get sent out to them, or does it get donated to another project that's closer to having its goal met?
No, it's donor-directed funding. So that $84 was intended by a donor to go to that project, and it will go to that project. One of the cool things that we've lined up with these projects and these partners is to ensure that there are alternate sources of funding in the case that in the short term we don't have enough dollars to go towards those projects. So they've secured other sources of funding if necessary to make those projects still happen.
Great. Well, Jay, we're getting ready to wrap up the show. So I just wanted to ask you, what do you want to say about Christmas Future, and what do you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, I think I was alluding to earlier, I really sincerely believe that this Christmas gift is a gift that changes the world. It doesn't just put a Band-Aid on the world. It literally changes and saves lives. And what better gift could we give to each other, not just to our loved ones here, but loved ones abroad, our brothers and sisters in developing nations that we haven't even maybe met yet? So I really would strongly encourage people to consider giving a Christmas Future gift. If Christmas Future isn't your thing, I'd strongly recommend and encourage you to get involved in some way.
So that's a really good point, Jay. You talk about our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, and that is really important for us to remember that we are all connected, and that's what this show is all about, is that all of us, it's not just people in Vancouver, it's not just people in our clique of friends here or even in Canada or North America, it's about all of us working together and growing as a species.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And the way the world changes isn't with a big bucket of money, although money can help change some things. The way the world changes is if we view the world differently. If we take responsibility for the world and say it's not okay that someone dies unnecessarily. I wouldn't think it's okay if my friend did, so why would I think it's okay if someone that I can't see does? There's not different rules. So let's create a new dream for this world. Let's envision the world differently and go and create that and take responsibility for it.
Jay, I'm curious, who are some of your mentors? Because you were there at the Wayne Dyer conference, but that was through Seed Productions. So did they seek you out?
Yes, Greg Mather at Seed Productions. I'd met Greg previously, and he had heard of Christmas Future's work, and when we met, philosophically, we were just so aligned. Both of us working towards what's called karmic yoga and changing the world with your work, with your everyday efforts, selfless work. So he's absolutely one of my mentors and one of my everyday heroes. But I just look around me and I see so many heroes, the people that are out there doing their best to provide for their families and take care of their responsibilities and do the right thing. Those are the heroes, everyday people. And they're the people that want to change the world and will change the world. We just make it easy for them. That's what we're doing. We're just making it easy for people to do what they already want.
Well, thank you, Jay. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate your time, and I really appreciate all the effort and energy that you're putting towards helping these people. Oh, and just before we wrap up, there is a point that needs to be made. All of the funding that's required to run the website, you raised that separately, correct?
That is correct.
So 100% of the money that you're donating on ChristmasFuture.org and giving away as gifts for people to spread their abundance throughout the world, all of that money, 100%, is going to the organization that the person you gift that to chooses. And you can also, people can also allot that money for just whatever is needed as well.
Exactly. So you can choose to put it towards a specific project, or you can just say, let Christmas Future figure it out for us, the highest need project. And you can also donate to the Christmas Future operational budget on our site, so you can actually find us as a project on there.
Excellent. Well, again, Jay, thank you so much, and happy holidays.
Thank you so much, Maria. It was really great talking with you.
Thank you. You too. Take care. So that was Jay Baydala from ChristmasFuture.org. If you have gifts still on your list, people on your Christmas list that you just don't know what to buy for them, well, why not go to ChristmasFuture.org and take a look there? It's definitely something that will warm your heart and raise your spirits this holiday season. So I do encourage you to check that out, ChristmasFuture.org. Thank you so much to Jay Baydala for being on the show, and thank you for listening. I'm Marie, and this is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Next week, the African-American holiday known as Kwanzaa. Plus, you can call in and send out your holiday wishes to the world. So I hope you'll tune in next Friday for that. I'm here every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. or noon to 1 p.m. on the East Coast at CosmicDimensions.com. And you can check out past shows on podcast at CITR.ca. Up next, Scotty's Scenic Drive on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Christmas time, there's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade.
And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around.
If the tables turn, would you survive?
Here's to them underneath that burning sun.
You ain't gotta feel guilt, just selfless. Give a little help to the helpless.
Do